The title that I chose for this message was God Wants His Battle Back. God Wants His Battle Back. Sorry about that. And I want to look at David. I know it seems like every time I give a message, David is the person I look to. I just, his relationship with God was so intimate and so personal. And almost we should look at that as a goal for us. Like, if we our lives and a relationship with God be as close as David's relationship with God was. And I just want to look at one of the battles that David fought with God. 2 Samuel, well, let's back up. I always do this. I forget to pray. Let's bow our heads. Heavenly Father, I just thank you for this opportunity to study your word. I thank you for the insight that I've gained with this time of study. And I just pray that you would use my voice, that your words would flow through me and to the souls that are here in this building. I thank you that your Holy Spirit is with us today. And I just pray that you have the freedom to move in this service as well, Father. I welcome your spirit. In your name, amen. So, like I was saying, I wanted to look at one of the battles that David, just one instance, because David fought many. It's 2 Samuel, if you wanted to follow along in the pew handle. 2 Samuel 5, verses 17 to 25. There's nothing really special about this battle. It's against the Philistines. It was two-part. If that makes it special. The first part, and if I read the scripture here since we pulled it up, he asked God if he should go. And God says, yes, go straight ahead. 2 Samuel 5, 17 to 25. But when the Philistines heard that they had anointed David king over Israel, all the Philistines came up to seek David. And David heard of it and went down to the hold. The Philistines also came and spread themselves in the valley of Rephaim. And David inquired of the Lord, saying, shall I go up to the Philistines? Wilt thou deliver them into mine hand? And the Lord said to David, go up, for I will doubtless deliver the Philistines into thy hand. And David came to Baal Perazim, and David smote them there, and said, the Lord hath broken forth upon me mine enemies before me, as the breach of waters. Therefore he called the name of that place Baal Perazim, and there they left their images, and David and his men burned them. And the Philistines again came up and spread themselves in the valley of Rephaim. And when David inquired of the Lord, he said, thou shalt not go up, but fetch a compass behind them. I'm reading from King James, that's why it's not familiar. But the truth is there. But fetch a compass behind them, and come upon them over against the mulberry trees. And let it be, when thou hearest the sound of a going in the tops of the mulberry trees, that thou shalt bestir thyself, for then shall the Lord go out before thee to smite the host of the Philistines. And David did so, as the Lord had commanded him, and smote the Philistines from Gibeah until thou came to Gezer. You guys are reading it from the New International Version, which I was more familiar with. And I just want to go to the International Version because I think it says it a little neater, and it's the second part there. It's in actually verse 23. So, and David inquired of the Lord, and he said, do not go straight up, but circle around them and attack them in front of the poplar trees. As soon as you hear the sound of marching in the tops of the trees, move quickly, because that will mean the Lord has gone out in front of you to strike the army. So the important thing, I wanted to read that out of the New International Version, was because that image that you get, when you hear marching in the tops of the trees above you, know that the Lord went out ahead of you and conquered the Philistines. He fought his battle. It was interesting to me when I read that too. There was two different ways to approach that. And that's the same way with God, that every problem we face, even though it looks the same, God has a different way to attack. And as David attacked the Philistines straight on the one way, God said, circle around to back this the next time. But God was always going forward, and God brought the victory. God fought the battle. Another time in David's life that I just wanted to illustrate how David relied on God in all situations, in all his battles. He relied on God first. And God had a different way of approaching the battle, but God always provided the victory. And then also with David, another moment in his life, if we could turn to 2 Samuel 6, 7, 8 to 16. Here David has moved into Jerusalem. He's in his palace, and he wants to build God a house for God. Another thing I think is so neat in the Bible, if you look at 2 Samuel, and if you look at 1 Chronicles 17, it's almost an identical story. Chronicles is just kind of the facts that are involved, but Samuel, since he was the prophet and the voice of God through, you know, God spoke through Samuel, it gives more of a spiritual end to that scripture in Samuel. So 2 Samuel 7, 8 to 16. And this is the verse is right before this. David said, why am I living in a palace? I'm here living in a house of cedar while God remains in the Ark of the Covenant. He said he wants to build a house for God. The word of God came to Nathan then, as he said, tell David this. And this is what the Lord says, starting at verse 5. I'm going to, are you the one to build a house to dwell in me? Are you the one to build me a house to dwell in? I have not dwelt in a house from the day I brought the Israelites up out of Egypt to this day. I have been moving from place to place with a tent as my dwelling. Wherever I have moved with all the Israelites, did I ever say to any one of the rulers whom I commanded to shepherd my people Israel, why have you not built me a house of cedar? Now then, tell my servant David this. This is what the Lord Almighty says. I took you from the pasture, from tending the flock, and appointed you ruler over my people Israel. I have been with you wherever you have gone, and I have cut off all your enemies from before you. Now I will make your name great like the names of the greatest men on earth, and I will provide a place for my people Israel and plant them so that they can have a home of their own and no longer be disturbed. Wicked people will not oppress them anymore as they did in the beginning and have done ever since the time I appointed leaders over my people Israel. I will also give you rest from your enemies, declares the Lord. To you, the Lord declares to you that the Lord himself will establish a house for you. When your days are over and you rest with your ancestors, I will raise up your offspring to succeed you, your own flesh and blood, and I will establish his kingdom. He is the one who will build a house for my name, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever. I will be his father, and he will be my son. When he does wrong, I will punish him with a rod wielded by men, with floggings inflicted by human hands. But my love will never be taken away from him, as I took it away from Saul, whom I removed from before you. Your house and your kingdom will endure forever before me. Your throne will be established forever. When I read that is God is introducing Jesus to David. If you read that, he will be my son and his kingdom will reign forever. And he's telling David, not only will he be my son, but he will be in your human line as well. Like, David's desire was to build God a house to live in. And God said, no, I have a king in a house. And it's also, he also talks about heaven there. When you die, I'm building a house for you. So, and that's back in the Old Testament, back in Chronicles and Samuel. So God's plan for heaven and for Jesus was already in place when he talked to David. David's desire was for him to build a house, and God said, no, you're not to build my house. How many times in our lives do we have good intention or good ideas and say, this is what God wants me to do because this is a good thing I'm going to do. I'm going to do this. But we have to really consult God. Like, it might not be what God has for us to do in our life. It may be he may have another way to do it. And then also, God, our body is the house of God, the temple of the Holy Spirit, basically. I want to play a song that David had the desire to build a house for God, but we are supposed to have a house for God, a resting place. Let me pull this up. I'm going to play this through this speaker here. Just if you want to close your eyes and listen to it, if you just want to listen to it with your eyes open, it doesn't matter. But I don't think I've been able to listen to it without a tear.
You will build for me.
Yeah, like I said, I've never been able to listen to that song without, a tear, because we are to create a resting place for God in our lives. When we invite Jesus to be our Savior, we ask God to come into our lives. He wants a resting place. And if we have the opportunity, and that's what I was talking about, David's relationship with God. His relationship was so close that God had a resting place in David. And it really is, it all comes down to when you ask God into your life, that relationship begins. And we nurture that relationship. We live our life. God shows his miraculous ways when we lean on him. And then that relationship gets stronger and stronger and stronger. And it all comes down to relationship with God. David had that relationship, and we have that relationship. If we are believers, if we have God as Jesus as our Savior, and we ask him into our life, we have that relationship. And the way that David knew God, we have that opportunity to know God just the same way. And please, if you haven't already invited him into your life, please invite him into your life. Mary Beth and I say, people that don't know a relationship with God in this world, how do they survive this world? And that gets us to the point of my message. The battle is the Lord's. Every one of us are in a battle every day. And the Bible tells us that our battle isn't physical. It is against spiritual forces. Well, I know for me, I don't stand a chance against spiritual forces. The only way I can defeat a spiritual force or win that battle in my life is I bring God into the battle. God wants his battle back. We sometimes think of ways that we can succeed or win the battle, but we can't win the battle without God and our relationship with God. Which then brings me kind of into that relationship. In 1 Chronicles, David it was unbelievable the victories that David experienced as king. Like victory after victory after victory. And he had plans to build the temple in Jerusalem. He had the plans. He had all the spoils of victory, the gold. And if you read through the Chronicles and the Samuel and the Old Testament, all the victories that David experienced and provided Israel or Jerusalem, David had the raw material, and kings were giving more and more when they heard of David's success, so that all the supplies that were necessary to build the house of God in Jerusalem, David had. And like I said, I want to build this house, knowing that he had the material, he had the plans to build the temple, but God said, no, that is not you. And I just thought it was neat how David building a house, David's desire for God to have a house to live in, it's parallel. Do you desire to build that house for God? Is God invited and welcome into your house? But then there's this ugly thing called sin. And in 1 Chronicles then, let's read 1 Chronicles 21, 1 through 8. And this is, it seems to me such a small thing. But I think if we look closer, we can see the weight of it in God's eyes. 1 Chronicles 21, 1 through 8. And this was after David had so many victories and Israel, like victory after victory after victory, and Israel was growing. And it says, well, I think I gave the answer away there in verse 1. But why do we sin? That is the question I want us to ponder. Why do we sin? And I think that the answer is right there in verse 1. Satan rose up against Israel and incited David to take a census of Israel. Now, the second half of that verse isn't the important part. Satan rose up and incited David. I think the more we allow Satan influence, or how does Satan incite us to do something that is evil in the eyes of God? And that's the bottom line. We sin because we listen, or we allow Satan to entice us or draw us away, I guess. And then, like I said, the census, Joseph and Mary went to Joseph because there was a tax. I mean, like, it just seems like a different thing. The census didn't seem big to me when I read that the first time. So David said to Joab and the commanders of the troops, "Go and count the Israelites from Beersheba to Dan. Then report back to me so that I may know how many there are." But Joab replied, "May the Lord multiply his troops 100 times over. May the Lord, the king, my Lord, the king, are they not all my Lord's subjects? Why does my Lord want to do this? Why should he bring guilt on Israel?" The king's word, however, overruled Joab, so Joab left and went through Jerusalem and came back to Jerusalem. Joab reported the number of fighting men to David. In all Israel, there were 1,100,000 men who could handle a sword, including 470,000 in Judah. But Joab did not include Levi and Benjamin in numbering because the king's command was repulsive to him. This command was also evil in the sight of God, so he punished Israel. Then David said to God, "I have sinned greatly by doing this. May I beg you, take away the guilt of your servant. I have done a foolish thing. The Lord said to Gad, David's seer, "Go and tell David, this is what the Lord says. I will give you 3 options. Choose one of them for me to carry out against you." And it goes down. There was 3 options. There was 3 years of famine, 3 months and 3 days. The three days punishment was God's hand himself. Was going to, you know, punish Israel. The other was the famine, and the next one was like armies around them would defeat them for 3 months. But the point of it is, I saw then what the sin was. David didn't fully rely on God like he had in the past. That census was kind of a symbol that David almost put more trust in himself and in the strength of the army than on God himself. And that's the thing that I want to kind of compare then in our life. We all have battles. We talked about that, like the flesh and blood in our battle. Like, it's not a flesh and blood, it's spiritual. But we all have battles in our life. Do we look to ourselves? How am I going to get through this? Or how am I going to conquer this? Or do we look to God first and say, "God, I give you this battle. My relationship, or your relationship with God, is so strong and close that you have that comfort that, God, please help. You know, this is your battle. I invite you into my life, into my battle. Lord, fight my battle." And God wants, his desire to fight our battles for us is so strong that when we look to ourselves, God considers it sin. When David took that census to see how strong Israel had become, God actually calls that sin, because of our faith in him is not where it needs to be. So I just challenge us too to have that relationship correct with God, and to have him in our lives. There's different places in Scripture where God says, "Cast all your cares on him, me, for he cares for you." Or "Cast all your cares on God, for he cares for you. And in all your ways acknowledge him." Like, it's not just some of the ways. God wants all of our ways devoted to him or given to him. And God is faithful. "Draw near to me and I will draw near to you," God says. Like I said, our battles aren't against physical. our battles are not physical, they're spiritual. So the spiritual, and I know I can't defeat spiritual without a relationship with God. And if we look at David's life and relationship with God, David's relationship was strong. He trusted God in every battle he went into. And the times that he didn't, he wasn't successful. God provides the victory. And the same thing in our life. God will provide the victory in every battle we face. Another point today, David was not the man to build a house for God. The house that God wants to dwell in is us. And I just really think it's neat that God had a conversation with David saying, Jesus is coming. My son will be on the throne forever. And he will be from your line. That David, if you read that for yourself then later on around that chapter, David praises God. Who am I but a servant? You know what I mean? Like he was humble to God, but God used David's line to bring Jesus into the world. And then also he shared that God is going to prepare a home for us, which would be heaven, in the Old Testament, no less. And there's an anagram, I think it's word first letters, and they make a sentence. But F-R-O-G spells frog, but it also means fully relying on God. So just fully rely on God, and that it is all a relationship thing. The sin in our life does not allow God, that relationship to grow, I guess is what I'm saying. And where is our priority then? Is our priority on something God considers evil, or is it on pleasing God and having that strength and relationship that God gives? And it's not a question of if God will win the battle. It's God will win your battle if you bring him into the fight. And like I said, it's all about a right relationship. And I believe most of us know, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. It's a very short prayer. It's actually in the Bible. If you want to follow the words in the Bible, Psalm 51:10 to 12 is actually the verse that song is from. I'd like us to just close our eyes and sing that as a prayer. And if you do know it, that's awesome. You know, sing along. If you don't, just let the music and the words touch you in a new way. And it's Psalm 51:10. And Psalms is a great book. And there again, David is pretty much the author of the whole book. And that just speaks to David just putting his life to paper, experiences with God, praises for God, and the songs that David would sing. So what I'd like to do when we sing this together as a prayer, I know sometimes in the hymnals and different things they repeat the first line or two, but if we could just sing it straight through from verse 10 to 12 and then go back and sing it through again. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Praise, cast me not away from thy presence, O Lord. Take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and renew a right spirit within me. Create in me a clean heart, O God, Lord Spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, O Lord. Take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and renew a right spirit within me. I pray that that was your prayer, that God would create in you a clean heart and a new spirit, that he would be king in your life. And I know we all have battles, but they don't have to be ours alone. God wants to fight your battle. Amen.